This is Lil Drake and Lil Future. I literally try and just aggravate A-Mac as much as I possibly can so that he'll be like, I don't want to work with that guy anymore. I'm tired of his nonsense.
Why would you want to kick me out that way?
No, I don't want to kick you out. I like you. I value you.
Mm.
I just want to drive you crazy.
Says a lot about you.
Yeah. I'm a poopster, you know? I was listening back to our segment yesterday, which was supposed to be about the jersey patch and the Nationals.
Yeah.
Basically 24 hours ago. And we spent half the segment on air fryers and fish and chips. And what did you do last night? You sent me a picture at about 7:30 with multiple choice option.
Mm-hmm.
Of what you did with your fish and chips.
Yeah.
That was in a box, basically.
Yeah.
And you said, what, oven?
Yeah, did I put it in the oven?
Microwave?
Did I put it in the air fryer?
Air fryer.
Yeah, no, I said oven, air fryer, or nothing at all because I was too lazy.
Oh,
and tired.
That's right. Okay, that was option three.
Yeah.
And I said probably C.
Yeah.
Which was nothing at all, basically eating it just as is.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you did.
Exactly what I did.
So when you got out of here at 5 o'clock-ish yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit before, yeah.
You went to get the fish and chips or you went somewhere else? Or
yeah, so I went straight to get the fish and chips.
Uh-huh.
About like a 35-minute drive. Then like a 10-minute drive home. Got a good workout in. Was dog tired, showered. And then ate the food after I showered. And worked out, which was about like 8:39.
You're so dedicated, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you start working at what, 6 a.m, or you get up at 5:30?
Yeah, get up at 5, and then I'm usually at work around 7.
You have a fitness center in your house? I mean, that's how you roll.
We're doing HIIT workouts.
What's HIIT workouts?
High intensity interval.
Oh my god!
So we're doing 50 seconds, we're doing burpees.
You hang out with Hoffman? Is that what you do?
We're doing push-ups, we're doing jogging in place.
Who's we?
Me and my multiple personalities.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is one of them named Mr. Fish and Chips?
No, but maybe like this conversation will birth that guy.
Oh, okay. All right. Just wanted to ask. All right. Let's move on before we make anybody drive off the side of the road. We certainly do not want to do that. Let's get to our guy Jason and Laurel on line three. He's been hanging in there for a while. Jason, sorry about the wait, but I appreciate you as always. How are you, pal?
I'm great, Chris. How you doing? By the way, a happy belated birthday to your boy. Hope you guys had a good time last week.
Thank you. We did. He's still with me. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at him right now through the glass window. He's managed to sucker Mad Max and Corporate Clary into getting him soda and chips, pretzels and hummus, despite me bringing in all sorts of deli cold cuts, bread, and a huge bag of chips. He still managed, and a 2 liter of Diet Mountain Dew. He still managed to sucker everybody around here.
Hey, like you, he's hot. He can talk people and do what he wants.
He is incredible. I don't know if your daughter does the same thing. He just puts on the charm, and everybody kind of feels bad. I had to walk into the other studio, and I'm like, dude, like, it's so nice of you, but you don't have to do that, man. Don't spend your own money.
He's got plenty of stuff. I get it. I get picked on sometimes as I'm a little bit too serious and a hard on sometimes, but my daughter has me wrapped around with little fingers. She gets whatever she wants.
Yeah, I mean, she's daddy's little girl, you know? I mean, I understand that. I understand that.
So I think Cliff's better than 7. What he is, I don't know how to quantify that,
mm-hmm.
But I was looking at something, and I think you might find this interesting. So as a pro, he was in a quarterback room with Tom Brady, Jake Plummer,
mm-hmm.
Drew Brees, and Vinny Testaverde. As a pro, he was in rooms with those guys.
Right.
As a coach, he had Johnny Manziel for a Heisman season. He's had Case Keenum, probably got Case Keenum drafted. He's had Patrick Mahomes, and he's had Kyler Murray, and now J.D. Daniels. You know, he's had some really great, he's been around some really great people. Mahomes, obviously, Brady, you know, But he's also had to be around Manziel. And even though Manziel won a Heisman and around Kyler Murray, and what do you think Cliff loves about Jaden? Jaden's not Kyle Murray or, you know, Manziel, but he's maybe more Breeze or Brady and just his work ethic and stuff.
Well, and that's the thing. See, the greatest misnomer that I personally, me personally, had of Cliff Kingsbury when he came to the NFL was I thought he was all Hollywood, all glitz, all glamour, all about me, you know, this handsome, rock star type of personality and looking guy. And I thought he was lazy. And I thought he was all about the show. And what I've come to find out through talking to people that really knew him and were around him, reading some stuff, and then, again, talking to people in the Commanders organization over the last year, is Cliff will outwork anybody. Cliff will outwork anybody. I mean, he's at the facility at 3:30 in the morning, usually.
Yeah, and, which I think is why him and Jaden get along so well.
Yeah, well that,
like,
yes,
that way.
Yes, but think about it, right? Okay, so again, I was in the building every day when Kyle was here, right, for all 4 years. Kyle, I don't think used to get there at 3:30, but Kyle and Mike would usually get there around 4:30, somewhere in that range, right, roughly, give or take. If they see their starting quarterback popping in at 7:30 in the morning, how do you think that makes them feel?
Oh,
especially when the backup is showing up at 5:30. You know what I'm saying?
Let me give you another list that's incredible. Here are coaches that he's coached alongside with: Bill Belichick, Mike Shanahan, Gailey Kubrick, Charlie Weiss, and Josh McDaniels. So this is a guy that's had great people around him as far as players and has coached alongside great coaches. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't care where they put him on the list. I bet you at the end of this year, he says no to more interviews. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. Because
so that's that part is interesting because I had no doubt that he would say no this year. I don't know about next year. I don't know.
I can't say for sure,
but I don't know about next year. I guess some of it will depend on how this year goes, but I don't know how many opportunities he'll turn down next year. This year, I felt very confident, especially when they stayed alive in the playoffs as long as they did. And maybe it would have been different if he would have been freer to interview earlier in person. He wasn't. So I felt really good about this year. Next year might be something different. But, I mean, at some point, right, Cliff is going to want to say, all right, I've shown you what I can do with Jaden. I've shown you what I could do with all this other stuff in the past. I now need to do it again as the head coach and the primary play caller and the primary quarterback developer. Not to mention, I'm sure he's getting paid handsomely from the Commanders. But, I mean, if I can make $10 million a year or $12 million a year, which even some first-time head coaches are making, I'd rather make that, or I'd like to make that, and run the whole show myself. And he might have enough juice. If this year goes really well, he might have enough juice to not only get, like, the whole show run, but where he gets to essentially pick the GM that he works with. You know what I'm saying? And that could be important.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you'd have to worry about after this year is if a situation comes where he can pick the quarterback or has a good quarterback to lead with, then we need to maybe get nervous.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see him be the apparent heir here because, I think he likes working with Jaden, and I don't think that's going to change anything. Mm. But honestly, unless there's a situation where there's as good of a quarterback to work with, because the thing about him is he's had quarterbacks that will work as hard as him, and he's had quarterbacks that he's had to watch how many video games they played. Clearly he likes the one that works harder.
Yep.
And again, he's coached along some of the best in the league. On this team, he's got good coaches around him.
Yeah.
I think he puts value in that too.
I mean,
I don't think the coaching staff that he was able to assemble in Arizona wasn't really a great coaching staff. And, that's one of the things DQ gave the team. Yeah. And Cliff is a great staff here. So I don't know where he is as far as assistance. I think it's much better than seventh. But I'm so excited to see what him and JD5 do this year. And I think it'll only be better.
No, I hear
you. Every year, too, everybody's more comfortable.
I hear you. Thanks, Chase. Appreciate you. Good to hear from you. Let you run on that. I mean, I would say he definitely, in my opinion, deserves to be top six. I wouldn't put Salah there, even though Salah has been a coordinator before and a very successful one. I think it's a different ball of wax. I understand why they did that, but I don't like that they did that. Would you put Kingsbury ahead of Joe Brady with Buffalo? You know, I would say Joe Brady benefited not only from a mobile quarterback, but a big, strong arm, big body, but experienced quarterback in Buffalo.
Yeah,
whereas Cliff was molding the clay of a rookie. Now, the one thing I would say also, just for whatever reason it matters, Buffalo lost their two top receivers going into last year in Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, or they chose to let them go. So I would say that was something that Joe Brady had to work around.
Yeah, but I think you make a great point. Like, I think this is where we can truly evaluate or look at Cliff Kingsbury as a play caller, because as Jason was just saying, and as you said before, like, this, there wasn't really ideal situations for Cliff before now, where he has a quarterback. So now that he has his quarterback, we can really see how good he is. And I don't think before last year, I mean, the reason Cliff got that job at Arizona is because he was known as a play caller. But after Arizona, and you mentioned this, he really fell out of graces. I think people looked at the hire, even with the Commanders, and was like, this is a bad hire.
Well,
this
remember,
is a-
he had to go to USC to be basically like an offensive assistant on a consultant, basically, and worked with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And they had a good year. They didn't have a great, great, great year. It wasn't his Heisman Trophy winning year, but good enough to get him drafted number one. And to your point, when he came here, remember, he had taken the Vegas offensive coordinator job. But he apparently didn't sign the contract. He had agreed to that deal. And then I guess Magic Johnson got involved somehow or whatever. And he jumped at the chance to work with the number two overall pick and Dan Quinn and whatever else the organization was putting together.
Yeah, so,
and he also knew maybe he had a little bit more job security. As it turned out, it was a stroke of genius, because if you think about it, right, Cliff goes to Las Vegas, stays in Vegas. The head coach there got Antonio Pierce got blown out less than a year later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's just...
Cliff may have been out of a job again.
Yeah, so it's just to the point of, like, a lot of these times with coordinators, and you pointed Salah too. Like, I would say Cliff is a better coordinator than Salah, but with Salah in New York, I think it's hard to evaluate his defenses when he doesn't have an offense to keep his defense off
the
field.
That's
so
fair.
It's a lot of this that goes into a coordinator. Yeah. And I think now we can look at Cliff Kingsbury and say, okay, how good of a guy? Because I've always been high on Cliff. I thought he was a great play caller before he was at Arizona.
Yeah.
It's just, being a head coach is different than being a player.
Yeah, and some of it is certainly subjective. Like you mentioned, or maybe Jason mentioned, Johnny Manziel earlier. Yeah, I think it was Jason that mentioned Johnny Manziel. So I remember, you know, covering Kyle Shanahan every day for 4 years, being inside the building for all 4 years, right? Getting to know him pretty well, getting to know his dad pretty well, getting to know Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and Mike McDaniel pretty well, and knowing kind of the genius of Kyle Shanahan. So when they got fired here and Kyle took the Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator position, I started getting calls from people in Cleveland, and they were like, oh, you know, Kyle's going to take Johnny Manziel. Da, da, da. And I said, listen, I said, the last thing on earth Kyle Shanahan wants to do is take Johnny Manziel. The last thing. I said, after what he just went through with Robert Griffin and a meddling owner and so on and so forth, and a undisciplined personality, I guess personality is best, and a me-first guy and a narcissist, I said the last thing he wants to do is Johnny Manziel. So I kept saying that over and over and over again. And Then they took Johnny Manziel. And immediately after the pick, it came out that Kyle did not really want Johnny Manziel, that it was the owner that basically, Jimmy Haslam, that orchestrated that draft pick at, I think, 22 overall or something like that. They had traded down from an earlier pick where people were convinced that Johnny Manziel was going to be the pick. And ultimately, they took him. Maybe it was 22, 24, somewhere in that range. So they did ultimately take him. But the way it was described to me by multiple people, and I believe the story came out, I'm pretty sure it came out, was, oh, no, no, Kyle wanted nothing to do with him. It was the owner walking in and swinging a big stick. I mean, again, these coordinators, if you don't, especially at the quarterback position, if you don't work your ass off, if you don't work from morning, you know, and before the sun rises until the sun is getting ready to set, you don't have a chance in a lot of their opinion. Maybe you are so talented that you can overcome it. Maybe a guy like Caleb Williams, and I don't know his work ethic. I mean, people say yes, but he's also, I don't know, he strikes me as a little bit of a prima donna. Like, the reason why Jaden Daniels is going to be hugely successful is because of his work ethic, not because of his talent. Lots of guys are talented. It's because of his work ethic and his maturity. That's why Robert Griffin failed. That's why so many others like Johnny Manziel and Kyler Murray have failed or struggled. That's why. All right, 20 after 3. It has gotten really, really dark outside of our windows here.
Yeah.
If you're coming down for the Nationals and Tigers, you might want to wait.
Stay
you might want to kind of check that old radar because it is really looking not good. Just be safe out there. Don't drive like a maniac, you dumbasses. I'm just teasing. Just having a little bit of fun. But don't drive like a maniac on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980. I wanted to get into this real quickly, and then we'll get back to the calls before 4 o'clock. And Craig Hoffman is going to take over, and you know, obviously terrible weather and all that, so just be careful out there. Mac, could you play me – I should have – you know, asked you obviously earlier, the Shams Charania Lakers cut that we have, because I wanted to get into this as we kind of finish up the show over the last half an hour. After talking about Kingsbury and after talking about the RFK situation with Muriel Bowser. And again, you can hear that whole interview on Kevin's show on the Team 980 on the Odyssey app and all that good stuff. I wanted to get into what Shams Charania of ESPN said about LeBron James. There seems to be all this like, oh, LeBron James is serious. LeBron James could leave. LeBron James is watching. He's watching. What's going on with the Lakers? Are they committed to winning? Are they committed to rebuilding? I wanted to play this and just throw this out to you guys.
Right now, LeBron James understands the Lakers are prioritizing the future in a lot of ways that really centers around Luka Doncic. And he knows they're going to go younger at different points. They are really prioritizing two-year contracts right now. They want to have max salary space in 2027. But for his part, at this point in his career, at his age, at 40 years old, going on 41, he wants to compete for a championship, wherever that may be, in Los Angeles, or there are conversations to be had at another point. The Lakers, their president, Rob Pelinka, they're being active. They're trying to figure out how to get a center right now in free agency, try to get some wing depth. LeBron James is very closely evaluating essentially how this goes with the Lakers and where he would want his career to be as he winds down, whether he has 1 year left, 2 years left, or 3 years left. What we're seeing right now is essentially a moment of truth between LeBron James and the Lakers.
All right. That sounds to me like a Rich Paul mouthpiece. Hit and run. I mean, we all know. Some of you have seen the video, right? Rich Paul is being driven around on draft day, and he's talking to Matt Ishbia, the Suns owner. He's like, hey, he's like, if I can get you Malawach from Duke, he's like, yeah, that's my number one choice. And, you know, I'll get him there if I can. Get him there if I can. Good. That's all I needed to hear. Okay. Rich Paul runs the NBA. He's the commissioner.
Okay.
I'm serious.
No, just relax.
Rich Paul is like the commissioner. He's got more power than Adam Silver.
See, when you were going up to before you tossed to that bite, I was like, you know what? I think me and Rooster may agree here on LeBron James. And then you come back and you have this just ridiculous off the hip take about Rich Paul running the NBA.
Dude, you don't think Rich Paul runs the NBA? Come on.
Not even remotely close.
Oh my God.
He's got more juice
and more influence than Santa Claus at Christmas time.
Okay, more juice, sure, because he represents a lot of players.
Yeah.
Yes, we can have that.
I know,
discussion.
And the players
that's
essentially
from,
run the league.
That's different. No. There are a lot of people who lost their jobs this last 24 to 48 hours who would disagree with the fact that players run the league.
But like Damian Lillard?
Yes.
You think he's really upset about getting $115 million to rehab
mansion? I'm sure Giannis didn't like that decision.
Maybe not.
Exactly.
I mean, but they got Miles Turner.
And also, there's audio that we have here. They said he didn't even know about the decision was going to be made.
Damian Lillard?
Yeah, didn't know the decision was going to be made.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they consulted with somebody. They didn't just totally blindside him.
That's according to an NBA insider. Yeah, they said he found out like everybody else.
Hold on to that for a sec, because maybe we'll do more of that tomorrow. But here, real quickly, I wanted to bring this up. You know, you guys know that I kind of. I don't think the Vegas odds and all that stuff really mean anything. I think they are fodder. I think they are information points. They don't mean what people take them often to mean, which is, oh, the Dallas Mavericks being listed as 5-2 favorites as LeBron James's most likely next team by Sports Betting AG? Really? You don't actually think they have inside information on that, do you? They're just putting something polarizing and controversial out there. Because LeBron James and his mouthpiece, Rich Paul, they're watching. Hey, you better go out and get a center. You better go out and help this team. After you traded your center, Anthony Davis, you better go out and get a center. You better do it, or Daddy LeBron might leave Sonny LeBronny. There's no chance LeBron James is leaving his son. Let me rewind on that. There is about a 1% chance that LeBron James, who's a narcissist himself, leaves LeBronny and leaves the Lakers. In my opinion, maybe there's a 2% chance of that and a 1% chance that he leaves LeBronny. But I guess it would kind of be the same decision. But anyway, according to Sports Betting AG, the Dallas Mavericks are 5-2 favorites to be his next team. The Cavaliers, and this one makes sense because he's been there twice. He's from Akron, finished his career that way. He won a championship there. I don't know if they would want him back for a third time. I'm guessing they would, just because why not? They're 4-1, right? The Golden State Warriors, who had some interest in him at the deadline, maybe tried to pull off a trade, 5-1. The Knicks, 6-1. That would be interesting. The Spurs, 8-1, play with Wembanyama and others. The Clippers, could you imagine that? 10-1, playing the Intuit Dome. The 76ers, 10-1. AMAC, your Milwaukee Bucks over there, Mr. Milwaukee Buck over there?
My Milwaukee Bucks.
Are 25-1. You want to guess what the Wizards' odds are to be LeBron James's next team?
And they're after they fall right after the Milwaukee's 25-1 odds.
Well, I'm asking you, what do you think? You think that's where they are?
Can you repeat the names? This is like a game of a spelling bee.
Like I skipped a bunch of teams in between. I gave you some of the favorites, right? Okay. I went down the list. Philadelphia somehow is 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeBron James ain't going to Philadelphia. Get out of here.
So So it's a possibility it could be before Milwaukee too. Like their odds, sure, chances.
Sure. But I mean, use some logic. Use some common sense here, mm-hmm, right?
I'm going to say
Milwaukee is 25-1.
I'm going to say 50-1.
Not a bad guess. You're wrong, but not a bad guess.
You just love telling me I'm wrong.
The Washington Wizards are 66-1 to be LeBron James' next team, according to Sports Betting AG. Only the Trailblazers, 75-1, and Utah at 100-1 have worse odds. How about this? The defending NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder, 40-1. Behind teams like the Bulls, the Hawks, the Raptors. Come on. Where do they come up with this stuff? The Pacers are 18-1. I give that one a little bit of credence, certainly. But where do they come up with this? Oklahoma City doesn't really need them. But, I mean, just for, like, pure common sense, how in the world is LeBron James going to pick the Toronto Raptors over the Oklahoma City Thunder? I mean, no chance. Anyway, I think this is a sham. I think this is a hoax. I think this is Rich Paul, as usual, running and ruining the NBA, just like Scott Boras has, Major League Baseball, I don't think LeBron James is going anywhere. Unless LeBron is a package deal. And that's possible because LeBron's got that kind of stroke. And Rich Paul runs the league on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Let's start with the NBA. We were just mentioning the Milwaukee Bucks. They are waiving Damian Lillard and stretching out the remaining $113 million on his contract. It's a salary cap maneuver in the weird NBA. Also acquiring free agent center Miles Turner, according to Shams Charania of ESPN. Turner agreeing on a four-year, $107 million deal with a player option for year four and a trade kicker. Lillard, of course, had a torn Achilles tendon, underwent surgery in May. He was a seven-time All-NBA guard and now gets all of his $113 million and gets to choose his next team. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the NBA, Jakob Poeltl is signing with the Toronto Raptors on a four-year, $104 million contract extension. The Sacramento Kings are signing Dennis Schroeder to a $54 million deal on day one of NBA free agency, as teams are just spending money, as usual, pretty reckless. 3 years, $45 million official with an option included in that, according to ESPN. NHL free agency, the Caps signing Martin Ferravari earlier on today. Six-year, $42 million deal with an average annual value of about $7 million. And the Nationals, if the weather holds out and improves, which right now is not looking pretty, getting set to host the Detroit Tigers, 6:45 Nationals Park, after a nine-game road trip. You can hear it, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. You're talking about me using salacious language? Look at you. Look at you. Pushing P?
Watching, Rooster.
I mean, come on now.
You are stepping.
Come on now, Mr. Steal Your Girl.
You're jumping on thin ice right now.
I mean, jeez. Jeez, hey, Mac.
Can you repeat what you said about LeBron last segment? Can you repeat that?
It's true. He's got all the stroke. I mean, he's got it. Whatever LeBron wants. People just run around going, thank you, sir. May I have another? They do the same thing to Rich Paul. Oh, Richie. Oh, Richie, baby. Come here. Let me give your boys $200 million just so they'll have a smile on their face. So they'll tell us what to do.
So that's the problem with the Knicks.
Oh, LeBron James is watching. Where do you think LeBron James is going?
So that's the problem with the Knicks. And that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. And that's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
I listen, baby. LeBron James ain't going nowhere. I mean, you know, look, the Lakers aren't winning any championships. But, like, if we think that he's going to leave, A, again, LeBronny, B, Luka Doncic, unless Doncic was such a nightmare behind the scenes and it didn't leak out, that LeBron's like, yo, I'm outie. Screw my kid. See ya, LeBronny. Let mommy take care of you. Daddy's going to win again. Daddy, don't play that. Anyway. It's just, he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. There was a lot of stuff going on today. I mean, for July 1st, right? All the free agent moves, NHL, NBA, all that. The NHL, like Mitch Marner getting that contract and sign and trade from Toronto to the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights always strike, man. They're just crazy. I mean, they will just somehow, I don't know how they do it, they just keep adding huge signings every year. And it's already paid off in one Stanley Cup. Whew, man. Man alive. Yeah, I know nobody cares about the NHL like Bernie and I care about the NHL. But I've been watching some of the deals. The Islanders have been busy. They added a veteran forward. Barry Trotz made a big trade yesterday that I saw. James Van Riemsdyk is going to the Detroit Red Wings. Nate Schmidt won a Stanley Cup in Florida. He's joining the Utah Mammoth. A three-year, $3.5 million per year contract. Good for Nate Schmidt leaving the Panthers. Bunch of things going on there. All right, let's do this. I wanted to wrap up the show with a couple of thoughts on the Nationals and the Tigers if the weather holds out here. And that's a big if. As you look at outside the windows, and it is dark and gray, and AMAC keeps coming over here in his Star Wars shirt, waving his what do you call that with Darth Vader? His, not his wand, but his
lightsaber.
His scepter? No, saber.
Lightsaber.
Lightsaber. How are you a Star Wars guy when you're as young as you are? Like the original Star Wars. I know they came out with other Star Wars. How are you an original Star Wars guy?
When they came out with the second trilogy.
Mm-hmm. You went back and watched the first trilogy?
No, but I fell in love with that second.
Oh, really?
Because that's like the origin that gets you up to the... So the way I watched it, it wasn't like I really needed the other movies to give me context to those. Like, I could just watch those as if they were standoff because they were prequels.
Right.
But then going back to watch the early ones gives context to it. But now it's just too much. It's like new shows every year and spinoffs and stuff. But
do you run around on May 4th and go, "May the 4th be with you"?
No, I wish I would. I just always forget because I just have like responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called being an adult.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah. I mean,
not to discourage anyone who actually
does
that.
Some people wait in line for like 12 hours
if that's your thing, I'm happy for
tickets
you.
Tickets or for an appearance thing or whatever. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's just too many important things to do. But anyway, it looks great on you, so congratulations. I'm surprised my son hasn't made a big deal out of it because he's a big Star Wars guy. He loves Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely talk about it.
Yeah. So you should make sure you show him the shirt. All right. The Detroit Tigers come in 53-32. Now, again, as we mentioned yesterday a couple of times, the best news is Tarik Skubal is not going to pitch for the Tigers. But they come in at 53-32 to start this three-game series. Jack Flaherty would go tonight if they play the game. 5-9 with a 4.80 ERA. But in his last three appearances, Jack Flaherty, the veteran right-hander, has a 12.46 ERA. 16 hits allowed, 12 walks, and 15 strikeouts. So you'd hope the Nationals can continue to hit a little bit as they did for much of the road trip. Not all of the road trip, but much of the road trip. The Tigers were off yesterday. They played on Sunday night, finishing up a series on Sunday Night Baseball, and that's where Skubal pitched. So again, this is an opportunity if they play, in order for the Nationals to kind of get off to a good start in this series. Listen, they're 15 games under 500. I understand. Not that many people care. I get it. You want to see some results before. But Trevor Williams has been a little bit better of late. Not good overall, but he's been a little bit better of late. He's been giving them a little bit more of a chance. If they play tonight's game, I'd love to see, Trevor Williams somehow give them six innings, two earned runs or less. Hopefully it's not three or four runs because of the unearned run component. I'd love to see that. The Tigers are, for whatever this is worth, and it's not worth much, are heavy favorites or favorites. Not surprising. The Nationals, again, had a second day off since Thursday. So they played Wednesday afternoon in San Diego. They had a full day off, a very short road trip up to Anaheim. So they really had like a day and a half off. Now another day off after the long flight home Sunday night. They should be plenty rested. This isn't like, oh man, they're dog-ass tired. That hopefully will not be a problem. But I've come to kind of expect the worst of the worst of the worst. And after pounding out seven runs in the 11 innings and three runs in the 11th itself and winning a game I didn't expect them to win, I worry that the bats will be asleep again. Hopefully you won't be sleeping on James Wood and the Nationals. Somebody says that from time to time. All right. Anyway, just wanted to spend a minute or two on the Nationals. We'll obviously have more on them coming up later. I watched a bunch of baseball last night. San Diego, Philadelphia. Philly won that game 4-0. Trey Turner continues to do Trey Turner things. Watched a little St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and a couple of other games. Cincinnati, Boston, the Red Sox, who are here on Friday, just pounding it out. The Mets try and get off the schneid after getting dominated in Pittsburgh over the weekend tonight at home against Milwaukee. So we will see how it all turns out. Yankees already up 2-0. At the end of one, playing a day game. I don't know if that's a day-night double. I don't know why they're playing. Oh, you know what? It's Canada Day. That's what it is. It's, I think it's like their version of Thanksgiving, July 1st, or something like that. Maybe something along those lines. Anyway, so the Yankees are up 2-0 over Toronto. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, dum-dum of the day, wrap it up, make way for Craig Hoffman. Coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All righty, you know what we have to do, right? Whenever celebrating the dumbness of America, we have to return to the dumbest state in all the land. That would be FLA. Yeah, Florida man, baby. This from the smoking gun of Florida man. There actually is like a Twitter handle, in case you haven't been on it. Named Florida man, who cops believe was stabbed in a drug dispute, was in surgery to repair the stab wound when a nurse discovered something else. Want to guess what she discovered? And where? She discovered a glass crack pipe. a lighter, and tin foil containing cocaine. Where? Up the old poop chute, man! Yeah, in his rectum. That according to court records. In St. Petersburg Bayfront Hospital, 43-year-old Michael O'Neill dealing with a knife wound while in surgery. Yeah. The arrest affidavit shows that the nurse found the stashed items after being hospitalized for his injury. He was booked into jail Friday night for cocaine possession, a felony, and possession of drug paraphernalia, and which is a misdemeanor. Then he was arrested over the weekend after posting $5,500 worth of bond, and he has pleaded not guilty to the charges. Over the last couple of years, he's only been arrested and convicted of DUI, numerous drug-related counts, including possession of cocaine, methamphetamine, fentanyl, and narcotics paraphernalia. He pleaded guilty last year to drug possession after a jail strip search turned up two baggies that contained fentanyl and crack rocks that were hidden in his buttocks area. I mean, you can't do any more stupid than this guy. No surprise that he was exposed with his pants down. Sorry, sir. I realize you may have a drug dependency issue. I got that. I don't know. Figure out some other way. Figure out some other way. Don't get stabbed. Don't have to go to the hospital. Don't have surgery. And certainly do not place it in your rectum. It's not a good spot for it. All right, Craig Hoffman is coming up next. He will take you home. Ben Strober Media will be helping him out because Anthony's on vacation as usual. I've been tormenting that poor kid through Instagram messages as he rides through Paris. Oh, it is his birthday? Oh, how about that? Happy birthday, Anthony. Anthony Haney, happy birthday to Tyler's mom as well. It's her birthday as well. Happy birthday to you if you're celebrating. See you tomorrow at 1. Thanks to AMAC. Adios.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.